you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Chicago!
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Everybody, we are live!
Are you guys grinding, or are you guys having fun?
We're having a little fun.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Spend some time with our friends Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel.
Yes.
I'd want to be nowhere else but here.
Parkinson Spiegel, they're amazing! Are they?
Yeah, but are they?
I go on the score and talk with Matt and Danny.
Yeah, Danny Parkins, one of the old-timers.
Sometimes says this is the show where things happen.
It's a disgusting way to do talk radio.
Danny and Matt do an excellent job.
A little too much Parkins.
We can erase it from the FCC.
Strange twists and turns on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I don't know what's going on with any of it.
We're the show where things happen.
Everybody, Ice Cube!
Cube, thank you for answering our text and putting up with our ridiculousness.
Anytime.
Bob Odenkirk.
How are you guys doing?
Mark Wahlberg's here.
Chicago, we love you, baby. Come on.
Shane, wake up. Danny, we gotta have another little taste because Spiegs is here. Huh? 5 o'clock somewhere.
Every time I come on this show, old school great radio.
Johnny B.
I'm riveted to the score. It's the last bastion of talk radio.
I mean, you guys are the best team in Chicago. Everybody knows that.
Parkinson Spiegel, these guys are going to be incredible and amazing. And they started talking over my promo for them at the beginning of the show. And here we go, Jim. Tony! Oh, Jim, we could start the show right now.
Hi, how are you? Parkinson Spiegel with just Parkins. Spiegs and Tanny are off today. They will be back tomorrow. Was out at Wrigley Field today. It was a true Chamber of Commerce day. Just absolutely beautiful. No humidity. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous day at Wrigley Field. And, of course, across the great city of Chicago. We got a Bears report coming up at 5 o'clock. We will talk some Hard Knocks as well. It's nice to have some football back in our life. And the Cubs are just teasing us a little bit. They're just teasing us. It's so frustrating, man. Baseball is just so damn cruel because they are playing good baseball relative to how before they had been playing bad baseball.
Did you say I was off today?
You're on today.
Tyler said you said I was off today.
I thought I said Spiegs and Tanny were off today.
Tyler just said you said I'm off today. So unless we're going to bury the part-timer, I don't want it to make, like, Mitch is probably driving right now to dinner. I don't want him to think I'm not here.
No. This isn't like when you fell asleep and missed the show.
Yeah, that happens on Cub games often. Yeah, not going to lie.
Yeah. It's different.
Didn't miss the whole show, but about 90% of it.
Yeah.
No, but just for the audience and for Mitch specifically, I am here.
Yeah, you're here and you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, I'm going to go finish out my passport application. Do your thing, dude. Good monologue so far.
No problem. Yeah, well, I've either made a huge mistake that was just corrected or I made no mistake that was corrected needlessly. I'm not really sure. We could pull that back. Yes, the Spiegs is off and Tanny is off today. Shane is here. Tyler is here. Grody will be here shortly. But, man, it's impossible to escape the too little too late feel to this Cubs thing. Because the offense is playing better. I know they were just shut out recently, but like in general, they are playing better. They are working counts. They are driving the ball. The offense looks pretty good. It is the type of thing where it's like, hey, where was this all year when guys have been struggling so mightily? And the other thing is this. Michael Busch with that home run early today to let the Cubs play
with a lead. And, you know, he passes Rizzo and has most home runs by a Cubs rookie. And, you know, 16, and he's playing a really good defensive first base. Also, like, it's just Michael Busch has been exactly what Jed Hoyer traded a top pitching prospect to the Dodgers for. That has been a great trade for the Cubs. Now, he was bad in May when they were still in it, and this does feel too little too late. I'm with you, but Michael Busch has been exactly what he was supposed to be. And Shota Imanaga has been exactly what he was supposed to be. And if we're being honest, both of them have been better than they were supposed to be. I mean, Shota was supposed to be the number three or four pitcher in this rotation. He made the All-Star team. Michael Busch was supposed to be a young, streaky bat with power. He's been pretty damn consistent with power, and at times he's been their best offensive player. Now, Seiya has, you know, had a great year. Happ has had a good year. He has not, I would not say Busch has been their best offensive player, but he's at least in the team photo. It's just wild that the two additions, where there it was an offseason where there really weren't many additions, have both exceeded expectations, and no one else on the damn team has exceeded expectations. That is wild. Like, Seiya is approaching offensive expectations. He's been worse defensively than you would want. Happ has been, you know, where he's been, and he's been good, and probably what you would say. So, like, some guys are playing to expectation level, right? Talkman, Happ, Seiya, Steele when healthy, Assad when healthy. There have been guys who have played to expectation level. But exceeded expectations? It's been the two new guys. And it still has been a disappointing season. That's just a weird formula to wrap your mind around. And what I'm struggling with is Jed saying the last 2 months of what this offense does is going to inform how much confidence he has in keeping this offense intact. And again, I'm making it more binary than he made it, but he didn't disagree with my premise. For evaluating this team going forward, and they are absolutely playing well offensively post-trade deadline. Again, with outliers here and there, but in the aggregate, they are playing well since acquiring Paredes and post-trade deadline offensively. But I can't wonder, or help but wonder, if that is at least partly because they're so far out of it and the pressure's off. Like, the pressure of the postseason is largely off. I know they believe that they can still make the postseason, and that's a nice belief to have, but they overwhelmingly likely cannot. They're still single-digit playoff probability on Fangraphs. And then guys have largely been paid. There aren't a ton of guys. You know, Seiya's been paid. Nico's been paid. Dansby's been paid. Happ's been paid. Bellinger's been paid. Busch is so far away from being paid. PCA is so far away from being paid. There's not like contract year incentive stuff. I know there's a few arbitration guys, and like, it all matters and all that. So I'm not saying they don't care. They do, and personal pride is a huge thing for athletes. But there's not a ton of immediacy with pressure, either individually for contracts or collectively for the standings. And that has coincided with them playing well offensively. And so if I was Jed, I'd be wondering, is it because we're healthy and I added Paredes and the weather is nice? Or is it at least partly because the pressure's off? And when the pressure is off, you could do well, but then when April comes around next year and they're 0-0 and they're a top 10 payroll team and they're the favorites to win the Central and everyone's talking about it being a do or die year, in that world, are they then going to just turn around and say, or underperform again because the pressure will be back on. That's just that's going to be a tough thing for me to escape as I watch this team and evaluate them. I'm like, I don't know. I know that when I talk to the players, and Nico especially, he's like, no, we still believe that we can go on a run. So they're not taking the – they are saying that the pressure to perform this year on this team is still on them. It's just – it's a hell of a coincidence that they talk about 2025 and beyond. They make these trades at the deadline. Some is sell trades. The Paredes thing is a buy, but also in a subtraction with Morel. And all of a sudden, they're playing much better offensively. It's a hell of a coincidence at this point. Thank you so much for hanging out. Parkins and Spiegel on the score. The Cubs are playing better, but they are not playing well enough to remove us from Bears season. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, and Odyssey Sports Station. Moby Ditka time. Here's Mark Grody.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Oh, yeah. Mark Grody is with us on the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. And Bears coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Bears. Happy post Hard Knocks episode one day, Mark Grody.
Oh, thanks, Danny. Yeah, no, it was something last night. It was so, I don't know how to describe it. When I am watching that and it's just so Chicago, I'm almost overwhelmed with all the, oh, I know that. Oh, yeah, there's Cole coming at the cup. And like seeing Hallis Hall, it was almost like overload. But I think the one thing that I realized out of all of that, my biggest takeaway from HBO Hard Knocks, and there was a lot to discuss, and I'm sure that you will do that over the next couple of days, but they really like Matt Eberflus. You know what I mean? And I understand that most coaches are probably going to get pretty favorable coverage, but it seemed like they made a character out of him, but in as positive of a way as possible. So that's my biggest takeaway from the Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen coaches come across poorly on Hard Knocks before. So, you know, I've seen Todd Haley come across overwhelmed. I've seen Hugh Jackson come across in less than the best light. So it's not a guarantee. I mean, we just saw Brian Daboll have his moments on this most recent offseason Hard Knocks where it was like, that guy's an NFL head coach. He looks like a slob. So I agree. The presentation of the Flus was definitely a positive. And listen, and people are going to – well, I'm going to talk about it a little bit more with Shane when you're done, but just it's – it's an infomercial. It's the appearance of access that is curated by the league and the team, and it is designed to get people hyped for the upcoming NFL season. And so viewing it through like too critical of a lens is a silly thing. If they reveal something that is insightful, then of course we talk about it. But as a television product, it's an infomercial. It would be like getting very upset about something that aired on MLB Network, highlighting the beauty of the game of baseball. It's a step short of propaganda for the league. So I'm never going to get too upset about the presentation of the whole thing.
Absolutely rated G. And one of the other things too that I had to keep in mind, that with some of the stuff, the Chicago stuff, keep in mind, Chicago folks, this is not for you, believe it or not. I know that sounds crazy. This is for a national Chicago audience. So you have to have Ray Clay and Michael Jordan and deep dish pizza mentioned, all of those things. Because I know I can like feel people go, oh, they had to mention that. Oh, there's Ray Clay. And I'm like, it's kind of cheesy. Like, I didn't really need the Ray Clay stuff, but the rest of the nation might have. And that's what they think about when they think about Chicago. They think about deep dish pizza. They think about Michael Jordan. They think about that announcer guy. They probably don't know him as Ray Clay,
right,
like we do, but that one guy that did the intros. So that was another takeaway, that it's not for you, Chicago. You know, Simone Biles was a huge part. I think maybe my favorite individual moment, this kind of low key, was, I believe it was Jalen Jones who was on camera at one point in time wowing a Caleb Williams pass. And it was perfect because that's so like Caleb can have a rough day and then all of a sudden make a pass that you're like, that can make a defensive back say, wow, how the hell did he do that? So I enjoyed that. And like most people, I thought the Nick Saban stuff was pretty cool. And I guess we should have known that there would have been some Saban stuff, being that he was actually out here and that was more than just a blow off nugget at the end of a sports report.
Yeah, that was excellent. The insight that we got there, we'll definitely be playing some of that in a little bit. Speaking of Caleb, how did he do today?
Well, one of the things that I liked about today was what they were putting out there. And they were they opened it up a little bit today, Danny, offensively. They were throwing downfield more today. Not as much. Well, there was plenty of short passes, and they still continue to work on the running game. But I don't remember a practice, at least 11-on-11 and some in 7-on-7, where we saw so many deep downfield attempts by Caleb Williams. The problem was that he really didn't connect on any of them. I believe it was Kevin Byard who had an interception at one point in time where Caleb Williams kind of rolled out. He was looking to buy time. It's possible he could have been sacked on that play. Almost flung it downfield, just kind of a hope and a prayer, and Byard picked it off. There was one play deep down the field attempted for DJ Moore. I can just considered it a really good defensive play out there for the Bears, specifically by Terrell Smith, who was a little bit banged up after a nice pass breakup. So I saw some nice passes spinning out of the hands of Caleb, but just not caught. So on the overall, I presented this to the Bears offensive coordinator today, Shane Waldron, and I said, look, from my eyes, it looked like a bad day for the offense and for Caleb Williams. So I asked Waldron what he saw that might have been good out there.
Yeah, I saw DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert, Travis Homer. You know, I can go through a group of those explosive plays. And so feeling good about those, knowing that, hey, some of the shots down the field, didn't connect on some of those. But the thing we love and shows up in the Hall of Fame game, when you talk about different points in training camp and guys that get the ball in their hand and run after catch ability. And to me, those are the things that really come to life as an offense grows in the games, in practice, not getting frustrated if we don't connect on a deep shot, knowing, hey, we've stretched the defense vertically right there, but then we can come back and play efficient football, connect drives together, and then get the ball in our playmakers' hands.
How close is Caleb on those deep, because we saw all the deep shots, but I mean, like, is he close?
Yeah, I think, and like every one of those that happen, it takes all 11. Sometimes you can be a little bit cleaner in a protection look. Sometimes we might be a little bit cleaner in a route look. Sometimes it might be the quarterback being a little bit cleaner with his feet. So, every one of those plays are individual when it comes down to, the why of a play not connecting perfectly. And so for us as an offense right now, that's where we're striving to get, all 11 every single time we get to one of those, deeper shot plays and giving us a chance.
I mean, obviously you want to hear that he connects on them. I think that you've been out there. And I heard earlier today, as you said, it's time to name a center. It's time to name a right guard and all of that. Is it just because camp feels a little longer because you guys have been there more for the Hall of Fame game? Like, that any concern strikes me anyway, but again, I've seen zero practices live, so I'm totally willing to defer to you and the other reporters on this. It feels a little premature to me. Like, they haven't even played in a preseason game yet. So I guess I'm not terribly worried if the offense still seems behind the defense.
I think the reason that I'm feeling the angst is because of the different messaging that we have been getting from the coaches, to Matt Eberflus in June saying, indicating that there's lots of guys here who can play at right guard, and just listing the guys, and then being asked at the end, oh, is Nate Davis still the right guard? Sanders. Oh, yeah, yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy. And then hearing Shane Waldron, not today, but the last time we talked to him, you know, about a week and a half ago, and I asked him, is there a competition at right guard? And he said, no, as long as he's healthy, there's not a competition at right guard. And then yesterday, and I wasn't even here for this, but I flipped out when I heard it, and that was Flew saying, yeah, you know, that the guy can lose his job due to injury. So I don't know. I just that part, just based on the last several years of offensive line play with a rookie quarterback, that scares me. Like, and I understand what you're saying, Danny. It's early on still. I get it. The relativity factor is there, but same old problems are popping up. Brian Poles talked about doing things differently this time, and right now the Bears don't know who their center or right guard is going to be when you have this quarterback, this rookie quarterback who is expected to be very good. I don't think that you're putting him in a good position even this early in camp and not having that taken care of. That's where I come from on this.
All right. No, totally reasonable, and I want to hear Waldron on both. So let's go quarterback then line here.
Yeah. Let's do maybe Shane Waldron on something that he is seeing from Caleb Williams that perhaps we are not.
Yeah, I think for us, when you watch him and you watch him go through his reads and his progressions right there, I think, you know, going to where the ball should go is happening way more times than not. And some of the things that, you know, haven't worked out have been just from a, you know, a near miss here or an angle that, you know, wasn't feeling it the right way there. Okay, got it. On to the next one. But he's been doing a good job reading with his feet, sticking within progressions, recognizing coverage structures. So seeing all those things is what really gives you the confidence moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's good, obviously, making the decisions, getting the ball out quick, hitting his checkdowns, taking his layups, right? That's been a big part of training camp. Will he take his layups or just hold on to the ball, like big game hunting the whole time?
Right, and you know, I was talking to some other reporters in the bleachers, and we're watching this practice that is not good for the offense, and we were watching Caleb misconnect, and we're sitting there wondering out loud, I wonder if there, you know, is there something that Shane Waldron is actually watching for right now, and he gave you some of the specifics right there, that the ball is going, at least the ball is going where it is supposed to go. And like I said, like the some of the throws that Caleb Williams made today were impressive. There just was some really good defense. As far as Waldron is concerned, too, on what we were just talking about, Danny, about center and right guard, I did ask Waldron directly today, how much longer can you go not knowing who the center and the right guard are?
I think for us, you know, competition is going to bring out the best in everybody. And I think every single competition that's involved in training camp has its own individual timeline. And for us right now, because those guys are operating at such a high level at center, and then Ryan's been able to go in at the guard spot with Nate dealing with a little bit of injuries right there, you know, it's been a smooth transition as far as the communication. So it makes you feel confident that we can go ahead and keep participating or keep playing the way we're doing right now. We are right now. And then when that time is right, you know, it'll be right, and we don't have to set an exact time on it. You know, it's going to obviously be before that opening kickoff there on the opening game. But right now, I feel good about where we're at, and because of the professional level of those guys that are competing at those spots.
Yeah, I said yesterday I would not alter my plan of playing Caleb Williams because of offensive line injuries in the preseason. Like, I would be fine if they were going to say the plan is to be really conservative and barely play Caleb Williams at all. But when they say 45 to 55 snaps, I think that means you still got to get the guy the amount of snaps that you think that he needs. If that's your decision, I wouldn't alter it based on the offensive line. It sounds like they're going to.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've been talking about the need to play starters more and the need to play Caleb Williams in the preseason since Caleb Williams was drafted. So if they have to go to, well, look, they're going to be bare bones anyway. It's not like they're flipping out the whole playbook, but if they have to alter their play calls and, you know, run play, screen play, downfield shot, if that's what they feel like they have to do to keep the quarterback healthy, then that's fine. But yeah, I mean, it is a bit of a conundrum with the offensive line being banged up, but you simply can't afford to keep this guy out of another preseason game. I got it for the Canton game, but for this one, you can't afford to do it. You know, the good news is that, you know, Tevin Jenkins was back out in continues to be in practice. Darnell Wright was out there for a while before he kind of got banged up again and walked off. So I think those guys are going to be healthy unless there's something more to the Darnell Wright being a little bit tripped up today. So I do think they're going to be just healthy enough for it, and I think that they know in their eyes, they're like, look, if we're doing this and we're committing this whole season to Caleb Williams, we've got to figure out a way to get him on the field in this game Saturday.
Yeah, and he can have backups in the regular season with guys being hurt, and it's not like you can't get hurt with your starters out there. You know, it's not exactly Orlando Pace that's injured here. They don't have Trent Williams, so
it's true.
You know, it's
yeah.
Like, oh my God, we can't play Caleb Williams in the preseason game because Nate Davis might not be ready. That does not make any sense,
Danny. If the hilarious Bill Murray can play, then I'm totally down with that. So.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yes. Love that they've got a Bill Murray. Makes me happy. defensive line. How's Dexter looking?
Yeah, man. You know, it's still striking to see Jervon Dexter, you know, as with thinned out a little bit and still massive and tall and all of that as he stands before us in the media rooms. But they were getting a little nerdy today. I think the football geeks are going to love this, talking about techniques, and specifically something that we talked about with Dexter a lot last year was that first step or the get-offs. Here's Dexter.
We work it every day. We do get off. That's the first thing. As a unit in a D-line group, we go get off. So just working it. And Ken, I talked to a lot of people and asked, hey, where are you, Ken, here during the offseason? And just now I'm keying some of the right things. And I see something move and I'm going.
When you play with good pad level and stuff, you've been able to dominate, and then sometimes you still get kind of straight up a little bit.
Right.
More physical with the exhaustion, or is it more of a mental thing?
Yeah, it's more mental. I think sometimes when you got a taller guy, bigger guy, it's a habit just to kind of still get up, and then for me, sometimes I win reps and I'm high, so. Having to tell myself, it's like you said, it's mental. Having to tell myself, like you'll make a lot of more plays with your pad level low, striking with hands and getting off the ball. So that's how it's supposed to look. So I have to tell myself that's what I need to do.
I mean, if he's so naturally talented that he can win at that position, that is so difficult to win one-on-one matchups at when he is not doing it technically sound, that's a very, very good sign. I mean, you don't want him to get bad technique. Obviously, that's what practice and coaching is for, and that's what he's speaking to. But if he feels like he's winning reps even when he's messing up the technique, to me, that's actually a sneaky good sign for how really talented he is.
Yeah, I love his awareness of it. And for the record, too, Jervon Dexter has had a very good camp this year. And, you know, everything is sort of going according to plan for Jervon Dexter in this camp. Shows up the way they wanted him to physically. Still nobody has said, yep, that's our three technique, but we know that that's the guy that's going to get the first crack at it. And so for people, other than, you know, some of the other defensive guys on this team, like Montez Sweat, who was out again today, I think Sweat's had the best camp of anybody on defense, but Jervon Dexter is right up there so far.
All right, I got to imagine, I mean, it's obviously the talk of Bears fans. I imagine it was somewhat the talk of Bears media. Was Hard Knock the talk of Bears players?
God, it was weird, man. It wasn't today. Like TJ Edwards spoke, he said he didn't watch it. He said it was just all football. Like, he's on a schedule and he's going to bed. Jervon Dexter said his wife watched it and that he didn't. Shane Waldron wouldn't let on to whether or not he watched it. The only guy today who would play our little game on Hard Knocks was Cairo Santos, and he tells you exactly what he liked about the show.
I thought the conversation between Coach Flews and Nick Saban was very cool to listen to. Guys, I admire Coach Flews a lot as a person. I don't know Coach Saban a lot, but obviously, you know, everybody knows how his career, how decorated his career is. So, just, and I know Coach Saban is a mentor for Coach Flews. So, seeing kind of where his Coach Flews' wisdom comes from, and how much he pays attention to that, it's like it was really cool to see that moment. And you know, wish I could get an hour of that conversation.
Of course, the kicker had time to watch.
Yeah, Cairo. Right? Cairo always plays our little games. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't get at the the kicker was at the podium today, so he's going to give us really nice, thorough answers. He also mentioned one of the things too that he got a kick out of was seeing Matt Eberflus in, you know, with some of his old college tape and wearing the neck roll on his. I think T.J. Edwards said that's what you call a one gap linebacker. Right? Yeah. calling Matt Eberflus that today. So I think the players probably got a kick out of that. But to be honest, you know, and we don't get to get in the locker room and we don't really have a choice of the players that we speak to. I mean, there's some choice in it, but the guys that we talked to today, T.J. Edwards, Jervon Dexter, Cairo Santos, you want to throw Shane Waldron in there. I mean, they were all kind of smiling about it, but none of them seemed to watch it. And obviously in the world we live in, they can go home today and watch it if they want.
Yeah, I guess I buy that Shane Waldron didn't watch it. It's possible, man. These guys do not live the same types of lives that we do in so many ways. And so, I mean, some of these guys watch football and love football and grew up with favorite teams. And some of these guys don't even really like football that much, and they're just doing it because they're good at it, you know? And on their bye week, they can't name players on other teams, and they don't watch games and that sort of thing. So I would think if I was featured in a television show that gave all access and mic'd up and that sort of thing, I would think I would be curious to see how I and my friends were portrayed. But I'm sure some of those guys were telling you the truth, and they didn't watch it.
Did you say you're going to be featured in a television show?
No, I did not say that.
You didn't say that? Oh, okay.
I said if
that's what I heard.
I were to be
featured. Oh, if you were to be featured.
It was a hypothetical.
Okay, I don't know. Sometimes your ears hear what they want to hear. But, yeah, I was thinking about that.
We'll see how that goes, you know.
I want to go home? I mean, look, as a reporter, like, did I really want to, after being grinding out here every day, did I want to go watch training camp? But, yeah, it was awesome. I enjoyed the hell out of watching.
Well, how did we feel about how the beat writers came across, either if your voices were in the press conference or the background shots? How do we feel?
Yeah. Well, I think Chris Emma,
yep,
of The Score, I think his voice was the one that was first heard.
He was the leadoff hitter. Yes, he was.
He was the leadoff hitter asking Caleb Williams kind of a critical question. A good job by Chris Emma. Patrick Finley, I heard getting a question in. I think he asked about Jonathan Owens. I know the CHGO guys were losing their minds because Cole Kmet had a T-shirt on underneath his Cubs jersey at Wrigley Field, which honestly, and this is no shade to CHGO, I didn't notice it, but as soon as it happened, those guys are popping off and, yeah, look at this, we're here. But you know what? If there was a Score T-shirt, would have done the same thing.
Would have been pumped. Yeah, of course.
Would have been completely pumped up. So shout out to those guys, the CHGO guys, getting a little bit of love from Cole Kmet. And I don't know, was there any other media stuff? Did anything else stand out to you?
No, nothing else crazy. I think I saw Carm put on social that he was in like the very back, like the background of a shot, like up on the the risers or something, just like leaning over. You know, he was. I swear that guy was just watching the show just to see if he was in it. He doesn't know anything about any of the Bears.
We all were. Danny, we all were. And those of us that were not shown or asked questions, we're all just jealous of the rest of the guy. Like, I am just jealous of Emma and Finley and Carmen and everybody that got a little bit of shine.
You got time. You got time.
No, we do have time. Yes. This is just episode one, ladies and
gentlemen. We were positing, though, that you need Tevin to be featured prominently for you to really get in there. Because
you
and Tevin
true.
Are attached at the hip.
I thought maybe I had a slight chance of the Matt Eberflus stuff. Like if they wanted to go back to the picture that you tweeted out, actually.
They chose to put the side-by-side of Matt Eberflus and Ryan Reynolds instead of Matt Eberflus and Mark Grody.
I would have
what a
cringed.
Choice by them.
I would have cringed if they would have put up that side-by-side of him and me. I would have absolutely, I'm not just saying that, I would not have wanted to make it on Hard Knocks with that. Because, you know why? Because they were essentially saying that Flus needed a makeover badly. So that would connote that Mark Grody needed a makeover badly and may still need a makeover badly.
Oh, but his makeover was kind of in your direction.
A little bit, yeah. I guess we kind of, like, other than the beard, I've tightened up my hair a little bit. I've faded it a little bit. So it's not, I'm certainly not slicking it back, but honestly,
I can't keep up with Matt Eberflus.
No, he's leveling up in a big, big way.
Oh, big way, man. That party at his house that they showed in Harden. Like I said, Matt Eberflus came across looking really good in episode one.
Do we have any delicious Bears nuggets today?
I absolutely do. DeAndre Swift making the catch of the day, a one-arm guy catch, as he caught it out of the backfield that went up high and had a load of offensive linemen in front of him. So that was pretty sick to see today out of DeAndre Swift, who another guy who's having just an excellent camp. We should find out. I know we talked about it, but we shouldn't. Flus does speak tomorrow. We'll ask him about Hard Knocks, and we'll find out who is playing and who is not in Buffalo. I can pretty much guarantee you that Flus will let us know about that. Still more Velus Jones running back time, like playing with the ones at times. He doesn't look bad doing it.
Do you think he's going to make the team?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think it's close. I honestly do look at this as one of those things where they're just like, what do we do with this guy? Where do we put him? I mean, he can return kicks. We're not going to have him return punts. We're not going to put him. We're not going to have like lots of offensive plays for him. I don't know. I'm nervous about. I don't like it. If you want me to be honest with you, I don't know that I like the idea of Velus Jones Jr. taking taking handoffs out of the backfield just because of his the turnover rate that he has had. There's just something about him when you play him too much that the mistakes come. So it's as we were talking about today in the bleachers, it's a really great training camp story, like Velus Jones Jr., the running back, and trying out for running back, but I don't expect that he's going to be a running back for the Bears this year. Last play of that, I don't know if you heard about this one, but Bears were doing their 2-minute today. The clock said, or the down was 3rd and 7. Caleb Williams back to pass to Marcus Walker in his face. A would-be sack for DeMarcus Walker. Walker then yelling very loudly, a little bit of profanity. Walker then takes his helmet off, slams the helmet down, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is a taunting penalty as dropped by one of the many referees out here today. DeMarcus didn't argue. He walked over to his fellow defensive lineman. The Hard Knocks guys quickly got in on their conversation. So that was DeMarcus Walker causing problems today, but it was a hell of a play, and unfortunately it was a poor showing in 2-minute offense for Caleb Williams in the offense.
Yeah, a taunting penalty in practice against your own guys is
it's pretty good.
Is unique.
Well, here the funny part about it too was we're all watching, like, he slams his helmet. It's like, obviously you cannot do that. That is a horrible penalty if you're actually playing in a game. It took the refs forever though to call the flag, so I'm wondering if it was Matt Eberflus or somebody else who says, hey, call the flag. Hey, call, you know, somebody,
right? Yeah,
like,
make him accountable for it.
Yeah, you don't have to go easy on us and throw that flag right there. That is a taunting penalty that won't be nearly as funny during the regular season if it was to happen.
Okay, good stuff, Grody. Thank you, sir.
Bears.
The television show. I have been at Cubs today. I have been knee deep in radiothon preparations and all of that. So I don't know what the tenor has been of the reviews of Hard Knocks. So I watched, I took some notes, I'll talk it through with Shane, and I'll just kind of set expectations as someone who's watched damn near every episode of this show for a decade and a half. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
And then Hard Knocks.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
A source told the Parkinson Spiegel Show on 670 The Score. I know those guys.
Afternoons on The Score.
right, Hard Knocks finally happened. There was a bunch of hype, and you know what that was last night? An episode of Hard Knocks. That's what it was. It was formulaic. It gave us some cool moments that I genuinely enjoyed. The Nick Saban meeting would be at the absolute top of the list, but there were other littler things that we would never have known. That Mark Grody or Adam Hogue or Brad Biggs, they never would be able to get for us, no matter how good of reporters they are, because they're not out there on the field. Like, for example, when DeAndre Swift said to Caleb on the sideline, "Hey, man, it's your team. Drive the car. You got the keys. Drive the car. If you see something wrong, say it." That's a great moment from a veteran to a rookie quarterback, and I have no idea, but maybe that's what led to him sharing, "Hey, pick up the trash around here," the story that Byard told on Mully and Hall. I have absolutely no idea if those two things are connected, but that's a veteran player saying to Caleb on the sideline, "Man, this is your team. Drive the car. Take charge." That was a cool moment. Saban was cool. Jalen Johnson's car, Flus's makeover, Flus's daughters. "Hey, you can't show them anything because we play them in week two." They're like, they're football kids. They're coaches' kids. I bet you Wani's kids really could relate to that. Like, that was like a, "Well, we're not really showing them a game plan here because we play them in week two." So, you know, there were little things. Was it cheesy? Was it formulaic? Was it for a national audience? Yeah, but I thought we got some stuff. It was entertaining. And I'll say this too. As someone who is just so starved for actual football content, I would not really be into this if it was, you know, Hard Knocks Jaguars or Hard Knocks Seahawks or Hard Knocks Ravens or whatever. But for this Bears team, with this much new and this much hype and this much excitement, yeah, man, inject it into my veins. This is appointment television. Was it the best episode I've ever seen of Hard Knocks? No, not even close. But the show's gotten stale for a long time. So I was totally here for it. Even if at times I was like, "Yep, this is the scene where they introduce us to the young guy. Yep, this is where they go into the guy's house. Yep, this is where they, you know, ride to work with the guy." Like, fine, whatever. I've seen it all before. But now it's with the Bears. So I liked it. Shane, did you like it?
Way too much Jonathan Owens. Way too much Jonathan Owens. I understand the gravity of what he's doing and the gravity of what his wife means to America. Simone Biles is a badass. She's a gold medal Olympian. But way, way, way too much Jonathan Owens. I did not need that much. There was 4, 5, 6 times more screen time for Jonathan Owens than there was Caleb Williams.
It's just the Simone Biles thing, man. It's just like you've seen the.
I'm just saying it wasn't necessary. Like, I know, like, cut it in half, and that's still enough.
Right. The Olympics are averaging over 30 million viewers a day.
But that doesn't mean those people are crossing over to then watch Hard Knocks.
I don't know either. I don't know either. But the biggest sports story in the country right now is the Olympics.
Sure. But that doesn't mean that it has to be on Hard Knocks, though. Like, what I'm saying, half the time, you could have cut out the whole thing of him sitting at home watching something on the couch. You could have cut that out. You could have cut out him driving to the airport. You could have cut out, I would have left the phone call about, like, her asking about the passport. I would have left the dogs. I would have left him with her parents there in Paris. But that's all we needed.
I feel you. I think that's totally reasonable as an edit. It's a human interest story, right? Like, my mother-in-law's in town, and my wife was hanging out with her in the other room, and I wanted to, like, just, like, focus in and watch the show. But when that stuff was on, because I knew they were watching the Olympics in the other room, and we've watched the Olympics every night that she's been here, I was like, oh, man, they would have really liked this.
Sure. Okay, you know, okay, so, like, yeah, I get that. Like, okay, I get that. Hoping that there's a casual watcher watching the first episode to then keep them for the next four, I totally get that.
That was because I was like, man, they would not have cared about, like, I am with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But from a production standpoint, that was I literally was thinking, I was like, should I go into the other room and bring Steph and her in here to show them this? Like, you know, because, like, they would have enjoyed that because of how into the Olympics they are.
I just think it's a massive, massive mistake to not have more Caleb. Like, even if you have to force it, even if you have to do a sit down in, like, a confessional with Caleb, you do it. Like, I understand the attraction of Hard Knocks is the, let's catch these guys in their normal moments when they're talking to their buddies. Let's not try to set things up. But you needed to have more Caleb. That's the number one overall draft pick.
Yeah, it's the biggest story. Listen, I would obviously, I'm with you, man. I would be fine with if it was only Caleb. You know, like,
yeah,
like,
it wouldn't have been a mistake either.
No, I agree with you. It would not have been a mistake. It would have been really damn compelling. Like the quarterback at the end, Reed, the whose parents were there when the game got lightninged out.
Yeah,
like,
that was cool.
That's a classic Hard Knocks story.
That was very cool. And you know what? Like, I didn't even realize that he had come in for two plays, and then when we were watching it live, and then didn't also realize, damn, he only got two plays. Now he doesn't get to play anymore, and that could affect his career.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that is,
he made a couple good throws.
That is what Hard Knocks is. Like they're gonna, okay, there's this guy that nobody really knows or cares about. Because, I mean, Bajan and Rippon are obviously going to make the team over him. But there are these people, his fiance, his mom, and his dad, where that is the thing of the game that they are most locked into. They're tracking the weather. The game gets canceled. And they're devastated. Like, that's great TV.
And it was funny when his mom's like, did the football players stay on the field? When she said that to his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, she kept on asking the girlfriend, do you know where we go? Did the football players stay there?
Yeah, it was first NFL pass of completion, and it was like a 1 yard screen. Like, it was just, it was adorable. It was relatable. It was very that was classic, quintessential Hard Knocks, and that'll probably be the most fame that guy ever gets from football. But you said that we had some people complaining today.
Well, let's do the complaining on the other side. Let's do Saban first, because I think that's the football thing. So let's. Let's listen to Saban talking about the expectations and failure for brand new quarterbacks.
Here's my theory on why NFL quarterbacks fail at such a dramatic rate. To me, expectations are a killer. This kid's got so much media, so much hype, so much expectation on doing well. And he has to develop so quickly to meet the expectations that everybody has for him. It's almost impossible.
Because there is a development phase to this. The first year is rookies, second year, and as a third year, they got it once they're in our system.
And I think that's the biggest thing you got to worry about with your quarterback. Right? Because the expectations are a killer. But yet, to use your word, development is the key for him. You know, like Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions when he was a rookie. It's the most in the history of all.
Manning looks to throw, Pippen, intercept.
It's unbelievable.
Put the nail on it.
But it didn't affect them. It's like the scoreboard. The scoreboard don't mean anything until the game's over.
The Saban part there is obviously excellent. It is obviously very, very insightful, and you got to take that guy's opinion, and it matters. If I'm on the Bears beat tomorrow, I'm asking Eberflus about the Eberflus part of it. Does it, development, progress, year three? Like, they don't think that Caleb will have this until year three? That's okay. Like, Stroud should be better this year than last year, but I would want to have a conversation about, I know that he won't have mastered it for a while, but you can have success at short of mastery. And where does that come in? Because now, I know Mahomes is a true outlier. Only plays in week 17 in year one because Alex Smith has them with double-digit wins. Then year two in the league, year one as a starter. He's the MVP and he throws for 5,000 yards. Like, that's one of the great NFL 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns, only three times ever. One of the all-time great seasons. His second year in the league, first as a starter. But there are enough examples of QBs being good, not mastering, but good, that I wonder, okay, expectations are too high, according to Nick Saban. Flus is talking about a three-year development plan. Well, so then what's reasonable in year one? Because I don't think it's unreasonable to say, be good and win while being productive. I'm not saying Super Bowl. I'm not saying finished product. I'm not saying mastery. But Saban would say that if I'm invoking Stroud and Herbert, that's too unreasonable of expectations for Caleb. But I don't understand why when I've seen guys do it in worse situations. So I thought that clip is fascinating, and I really hope that they dig down on that. And who knows what Fluce will say, but I would be fascinated to see what he would share of, okay, external expectations are too high. You're saying this is a development year, but you also have a lot of guys on this team that are expected to win this year. How much winning can you do while you're developing Caleb Williams?
And it showed me, too, that like Matt Eberflus is still willing to learn. Like, you saw him taking notes that entire time. I know that NFL head coaches probably have smaller egos than NFL players, but how many guys are willing to bend the knee completely? I know it's Nick Saban, but how many guys are willing to bend the knee completely and say, I still don't know everything. Let me learn from someone that I've respected for a long time. That's what I was most encouraged about.
Yeah, it was really cool to see Saban there and have the respect with him and Eberflus. That was a great moment. It does not shock me that Burnsy found something to be concerned about and complain about. It's next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on The Score.
All right, seems like a pretty harmless edition of Hard Knocks last night. Okay, Kevin Warren was in the room when the contract was being assigned. It's a $100 million deal. He wants camera time. He's going to do much cringier things than that. I promise you this. But Dan Bernstein is concerned about slip and slides.
How do we feel about the slip and slide?
Stupid, because it's dangerous, and there are actual sliding mats that you can go get from one of the major league teams in town. They're made of a special surface that isn't covered in water. I wondered about the liability issues. And if you actually talk to injury lawyers about slip and slide injuries, there's some terrible things that happen. Generally, it's out of shape fat guys that dive and break their necks.
Yeah, but the other thing is that those are usually also in small yards. They at least have the space to put a slip and slide out. And you're not running into a fence or above ground pool or something like that.
You have to make sure there's not something underneath the slide.
No, like a rock. Or the people who slide down the slip and slide down the hill and into a truck.
Right.
That runs the
ball.
That wasn't
possible.
And,
right.
And again, I just crack up at the acting like this is a new idea. When again, you had quarterback sliding problems. Like, that's my issue with some of this. I'm like, you could have done this all. And
that they kind of feel brand new.
Like, you guys are not new coaches.
I think that there's something to that. I think that's something that we should continue to monitor and discuss. Well, we get a lot more. What?
So you're taking the fun out of slip and slides. It was harmless. Trust, slip and slides are death traps.
Slip and slide is taking the fun out of
slip and slides, like, are death traps.
We don't have millions of dollars riding on whether or not we get a hurt on a slip and slide.
Unless,
like,
it's trick
ouchie.
Daddy.
Like, if I have an ouchie on a slide, yeah, I mean, that's a different.
That's the best type.
Take it to the house.
Damn right.
But that's a different discussion.
And all their slides were awful, by the way.
There weren't that were great.
They were terrible. Like, no one's ever played baseball before?
Yeah, 217 gets it. The slip and sliding looked like something where Justin would have taken, like, the slides that Justin Fields took, kind of the same idea.
Yeah, were you,
like,
sitting up?
Yeah, like, we needed this prior to this year.
The slide in the game was better than the slip and slide.
Oh, my God.
Here's my issue, Danny. I got a couple things. I was watching this live. I cut out the part where Stud said, yeah, and there could be a rock under there. What if there's a rock? Oh, on the NFL practice field, you think they've probably made sure the grass is perfectly manicured. And my second thing, where all three agreed, they don't even know how to slide. No, that's how quarterbacks slide. You start your slide like a baseball, and then you are either instructed, depending on the person teaching, to put 1 foot up or 2 feet up to stop anyone diving over you. That's how quarterbacks are taught to slide. It's a fun thing. Let the kids have fun. Let them have fun for 30 damn minutes on a slip and slide.
Yeah, the fun part of it was there for me. And, like, the death trap strikes me as a little bit overstated, just a tad.
Well, he said it twice, so it must be true.
Yeah, but, like, should they not go golfing?
Exactly.
You could pull a muscle.
You let your kids go on slip and slides, I bet.
Sure.
It's a child's. Both your kids are still alive, correct?
They are still alive.
It's a child's activity.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing.
Yeah, it's a fun thing.
It's a fun thing to break up the Manani camp. And you know what also is dangerous and could be considered a death trap? Playing football.
Yeah, football.
It's objectively safer than what they're doing the rest of the time at practice. Right? Slip and slide is safer than football. So, yeah, that did not strike me as overly concerning. That's good stuff, though. But that's why everybody still watches these episodes and sees it differently. That's good. It was really cool to be on Marquee and with Pat and Ron today. It was to talk about the Radiothon. I cannot believe this is 1 week from tomorrow. It is going to be the largest philanthropic event in the history of the Score. You can still get involved if you want. My DMs are open. 670radiothon@gmail.com. Email me and get your business involved. We're going to raise... I keep saying it. I'm just going to try to speak it into existence. But we're going to try to raise $1 million or more for cancer research with Brain Up and Stand Up to Cancer a week from tomorrow. I cannot believe this thing is actually finally here. So, you know, hit me up if you want to get involved. Would love to have you and your company or just you as a individual of means involved. Thank you, Tyler, for sitting in for Tanny. We appreciate it. Connor and Kevin doing their thing. Shane, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Mark Grody, our terrific Bears reporter, who's coming up next.
Hey, quick update for the audience who's been so attached to this. Passport appointment tomorrow, 10:30 a.m.
Boom!
Passport tomorrow, baby.
Boom! Passport, baby, yeah. Shane's going to Greece.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
Yeah, baby, yeah. ChevyDriveChicago.com, Training Camp Live. Mark Grody follows us. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
This isn't part of the program. This is impromptu by me. I'm sorry about this afternoon. That, no, please, no, please, everyone be quiet. Let me just say, it's unacceptable. Today was unacceptable.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on The Score.
All right, seems like a pretty harmless edition of Hard Knocks last night. Okay, Kevin Warren was in the room when the contract was being assigned. It's a $100 million deal. He wants camera time. He's going to do much cringier things than that. I promise you this. But Dan Bernstein is concerned about slip and slides.
How do we feel about the slip and slide?
Stupid, because it's dangerous, and there are actual sliding mats that you can go get from one of the major league teams in town that are made of a special surface that isn't covered in water. I wondered about the liability issues. And if you actually talk to injury lawyers about slip and slide injuries, there's some terrible things that happen. Generally, it's out-of-shape fat guys that dive and break their necks.
Yeah, but the other thing is that those are usually also in small yards. They at least have the space to put a slip and slide out, and you're not running into a fence or above-ground pool or something like that.
Or you have to make sure there's not something underneath the slide.
No, like a rock. Or the people who slide down the slip and slide down the hill and into a truck.
Right. Well,
that runs the
that mobile. Wasn't possible.
And, right. And again, I just crack up at the acting like this is a new idea. When again, you had quarterback sliding problems. that's my issue with some of this. I'm like, you could have done this all. And
that they kind of feel brand new.
Like, you guys are not new coaches.
I think that there's something to that. I think that's something that we should continue to monitor and discuss. Well, we get a lot more. What?
So you're taking the fun out of slip and slides. It was harmless. Trust, slip and slides are death traps.
Slip and slide is taking the fun out of slip and slides.
Slip and slides are death traps.
We don't have millions of dollars riding on whether or not we get a hurt on a slip and slide.
Unless like it's
an
Trick Daddy.
Like even, if I have an ouchie on a slide, yeah, I mean, that's a different.
That's the best type.
Take it to the house.
Damn right.
But that's a different discussion.
And all their slides were awful, by the way.
There weren't that were great.
They were terrible. Like, no one's ever played baseball before?
Yeah, 217 gets it. The slip and sliding looked like something where Justin would have taken, like, the slides that Justin Fields took, kind of the same idea.
Yeah, were he sitting up?
Yeah, like, we needed this prior to this year.
The slide in the game was better than the slip and slide.
Oh, my God.
Here's my issue, Danny. I got a couple things. I was watching this live. I cut out the part where Stud said, yeah, and there could be a rock under there. What if there's a rock? Oh, on the NFL practice field, you think they've probably made sure the grass is perfectly manicured. And my second thing, where all three agreed, okay, they don't even know how to slide. No, that's how quarterbacks slide. You start your slide like a baseball, and then you are either instructed, depending on the person teaching, to put 1 foot up or 2 feet up to stop anyone diving over you. That's how quarterbacks are taught to slide. It's a fun thing. Let the kids have fun. Let them have fun for 30 damn minutes on a slip and slide.
Yeah, the fun part of it was there for me. And like, the death trap strikes me as a little bit overstated, just a tad.
Well, he said it twice, so it must be true.
Yeah, but like, should they not go golfing?
Exactly.
You could pull a muscle.
You let your kids go on slip and slides, I bet.
Sure.
It's a child's. Both your kids are still alive, correct?
They are still alive.
It's a child's activity.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing.
Yeah, it's a fun thing. It's a fun thing to break up the Manani camp. And you know what also is dangerous and could be considered a death trap? Playing football.
Yeah, football.
It's objectively safer than what they're doing the rest of the time at practice. Right? Slip and slide is safer than football. So, yeah, that did not strike me as overly concerning. That's good stuff, though. But that's why everybody still watches these episodes and sees it differently. That's good. It was really cool to be on Marquee and with Pat and Ron today. It was to talk about the Radiothon. I cannot believe this is 1 week from tomorrow. It is going to be the largest philanthropic event in the history of the Score. You can still get involved if you want. My DMs are open. 670radiothon@gmail.com. Email me. We get your business involved. We're going to raise... I keep saying it. I'm just going to try to speak it into existence, but we're going to try to raise $1 million or more for cancer research with Brain Up and Stand Up to Cancer a week from tomorrow. I cannot believe this thing is actually finally here. So, you know, hit me up if you want to get involved. Would love to have you and your company or just you as a individual of means involved. Thank you, Tyler, for sitting in for Tanny. We appreciate it. Connor and Kevin doing their thing. Shane, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Mark Grody, our terrific Bears reporter, who's coming up next.
Hey, quick update for the audience who's been so attached to this. Passport appointment tomorrow, 10:30 a.m.
Boom!
Passport tomorrow, baby.
Boom! Passport, baby, yeah. Shane's going to Greece.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
Yeah, baby, yeah. ChevyDriveChicago.com, Training Camp Live. Mark Grody follows us. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
This isn't part of the program. This is impromptu by me. I'm sorry about this afternoon. Please, everyone be quiet. Let me just say, it's unacceptable. Today was unacceptable.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.